This is a replay of the Tuesday night, May 27th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And can't go any further without mentioning the passing of Rick Derringer. I always knew him as Rick Zeringer, because that's who he was, and he was in Union City, Indiana, which was right on the border of Ohio. In fact, part of Union City is actually in Ohio. But in any event, when he was about 14, he formed a band with his brother and a couple friends, and initially I think they were Ricky Z and the Raiders, something of that nature, although they had that toyed with the McCoys earlier on. I'll get back to that. In any event, here they were, you know, the heady age of 14, 15, and they're already an opening act. And one of the groups they opened for was the Strangeloves. Now, of course, the Strangeloves never existed. You know that whole deal. This was Feldman and Goldstein and Goddard. And Feldman and Goldstein had been writing rock and roll records from the 50s, late 50s. In the early 60s, Goddard joined them, and they had a huge hit with My Boyfriend's Back and a number of other things. And what happened, of course, shortly thereafter was the British invasion happened. And the boys, being nothing if not creative, decided that they would join this action. At first, they were going to be British, but then they realized they couldn't do the accent. Just wasn't going to work. So they decided they'd be Australian, figuring nobody knew anybody who was from Australia. It's really, really what these three Jewish guys from New York thought. And so, they decided they were the Strangeloves. And of course, they had a backstory. And the backstory was that they were sheep farmers. They were three brothers, Giles, Miles, and Niles, and they were raised on a sheep farm, but they got wealthy because they invented a new form of sheep crossbreeding, which resulted in the long-haired Goddard sheep, registered to the Feldman Goldstein Company of Australia, of course, which allowed them time and financial freedom to sing. Yes, and sing they did. Now, I would doubt that the story captured anybody's imagination, but their second single captured everybody's imagination, and that was I Want Candy. And, of course, that's been used since then so many ways that they probably could have retired on that alone. And, of course, they did that in collaboration with Burt Burns at Bang Records. And this was high on the charts in 1965. And they had to go on tour. Now, initially, they were, you know, willing to put that together, but they weren't willing to actually go out on the road. And so they had had other musicians being them who would know. Right? As far as that goes. But for whatever reason, they actually had shown in a Dayton gig. And the opening act was Ricky Z and the Raiders. And they heard them. And I mean, these kids were 15 and 16 at this point. They heard them and said, they have promise. And they talked to Rick, who was the lead guitarist and lead singer, saying, you know, you got to do better than Ricky Z and the Raiders here. And so they settled on the McCoys and, of course, called Burt Burns. He immediately does a session at Bell Sound. At that time, Ricky Zeringer was 16 years old. Yeah, flying to Manhattan to Bell Sound and do this. And they wind up recording Hang on Sloopy, which conveniently, Burt Burns had written, and it had been My Girl Sloopy and had been recorded prior to that. But so they put that out, and at the time, Rick was 16 when he walked into Bell Sound, and literally within a month walked out with a big hit. And that was the start of what sounded like an improbable career, but really went on to be the story of an incredibly good musician. You know, changed his name to Derringer for obvious reasons, and yes, catchy, and easy to spell, and everybody knows about Derringer. So he went on doing so many things. In fact, he got a Grammy. But the Grammy was for Weird Al Yankovic's first album. Yeah, Eat It, yeah, to the tune of Beat It, yeah. And, of course, he had his own hit with Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, but he did so much more than that, did a lot of studio work, and like I say, a lot of stuff. We could go on and on. But sadly, he had moved to Florida. In fact, I think he had an apartment at Margaritaville, or a house, I should say, at Margaritaville, and also had a place at Ormond Beach. And that's where he was Monday night. Now, 2 months ago, he had had heart surgery. He had triple bypass surgery. But by all accounts, he was doing really well. And then Monday night, as he was getting ready for bed, he had what, you know, can only be described as an episode, I guess. Whatever it was, it just rendered him unconscious and to the hospital immediately. And sadly, the stats were beyond bad, and his wife had to make the decision to pull him off life support, which she did. So at 77 years old, Rick Derringer is no more. And I thought, as our first bumper tonight, that I would play something he recorded when he was 16, and it was interesting because of course Feldman Goldstein Goddard wrote it, don't you know? And it's just his guitar work is pretty good on it, but just listening to his voice, so young and so full of promise. So we'll get to that, and then we'll get to Chad in Kentuckiana, and to you too, coming up on WGN Radio. And you know, I'm always talking about the C. Crane Company, and the one thing that every radio Bob Crane develops has in common, and that is incredibly good reception, AM and FM. So when I tell you that his CC Wi-Fi 3 has tremendous reception, you're saying, what do you mean? It's not a radio. Well, it's a Wi-Fi radio, and what it has great reception for is even the most lackluster wireless access port. So if you've got a Wi-Fi router that's at all hard to connect to things, or you're trying to put the radio far from it, you know, five rooms over, well, I'll tell you what, if any Wi-Fi radio can do it, the CC Wi-Fi 3 can, because that goes on with Bob Crane's pledge that everything will have terrific reception. But the CC Wi-Fi 3 is so special in so many other ways. For one thing, it's intuitive, it's easy to use, and that makes a big difference, because if you're not that technically savvy, you know, you don't want a radio with new tricks. Well, I'll tell you what, this is really easy as far as that goes. And the audio is terrific. Of course, it's better than any smartphone in the world. And you can listen to whatever you want. Thank God they didn't have Wi-Fi radios. When I was a kid, I wouldn't have left the bedroom. But at this point in time, radio stations from all over the world and podcasts and streams of all sorts. And, you know, the beauty of this is you don't have to lug your computer around or even your phone, and it sounds so much better than your phone. You don't have to sign up for an app. There's no microphone. There's no ads on the screen. No monthly fee. And it's got a full-size remote control. So it is just a terrific choice if you want a great Wi-Fi radio. Now, I always say that you can call them if you can't go online. And the deal with that is, of course, if you can't go online, you probably don't want a Wi-Fi radio. But there may be someone in your life that you're thinking about. And this makes a terrific gift, again, because it's really easy to use. You can call them at 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. You can order right by phone, and they'll send you a hard copy of the catalog. Now, if you can go online, of course, ccradio.com, anytime, ccradio.com. Take a look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. You'll get a lot of tips about listening to Wi-Fi radio, and I guarantee you, whatever it is you want to find musically or talk or anything that's audio, the Wi-Fi radio has it. And why not get one that's really easy to use? The CC Wi-Fi 3 from the C. Crane Company, ccradio.com, and you tell them that Raleigh sent you.
If you tell a lie, you know it's gonna hurt me and make I'd give all my love to, but if you tell a lie, you know it's gonna hurt me and make me cry. You won't have to wonder the reason why I said goodbye. If you tell a lie, if you tell a lie.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there he is. Yes, Rick Derringer, 16 years old, recording that Goldstein, Goderer, Feldman wrote. And I'll tell you what, you wouldn't expect that that's a guy who's going to go on to the Johnny and Edgar winner groups, to Steely Dan, Alice Cooper, Kiss, and on and on. And he also did a ton of studio work. And you can hear him as a session musician playing guitar on Steely Dan or Todd Rundgren or, you know, Alice Cooper, like I say, Kiss, Barbara Streisand even, on and on. And did so much more. In fact, if you like Bonnie Tyler and Total Eclipse of the Heart, that is his guitar solo in that. Also, Air Supply. Is Making Love Out of Nothing at All. So yeah, an unlikely career all the way around, and sad that he's no longer with us. I remember so well working the Miami Pop Festival at the end of 1968, and the McCoys were on the bill. And I thought to myself, this is insanity. And the whole thing was actually insane, but it was very successful. The McCoys couldn't show up, as it turned out. They were stranded in Toronto, and they got Wayne Cochran to fill in for them. And might have been a better move all the way around. Booker T didn't show up either. He had the flu. I forgot who filled in for Booker T, but it was a full fiasco and a good time had by all. Chad in Kentucky, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
Yeah, that's interesting about from Union City, Indiana. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona, Indiana. I've been up that way several times, but I did not know he was from there.
Oh, yeah. They were a little local Dayton group, obviously, because it was close to Dayton.
Yeah.
I think that he was born in Salina, but they grew up in Union City. And when they were 14, okay. They formed, Rick and the Raiders. And within, 2 years, they get discovered. You know, literally, he was 16 when he went to Bell Sound, turned 17 a month later. And of course, it was interesting because as quickly as they were famous, they were then not famous. In fact, when they were...
Yeah, Hang On, Sloopy, yeah, and Fever is really all I remember.
Right, right. And that first album was nice because it had a lot of R&B covers on it. And, Burns and Feldman all produced that. So it was a pretty good album as far as that goes. But I have no idea why at the end of 68, when literally, talk about cold, I mean, they're going to break up in moments.
I was going to ask you that. I didn't even know they made it around that long.
Yeah, they broke up in 69. But I used to know, and it was a hell of a story. We used to laugh about this. And, I was when I heard that he passed, I was thinking, who the hell was it who booked him into that Miami Pop Festival? I can't think of it. But anyway, they didn't show. They couldn't show. And so, I can't remember. It might have been a favor because of Burt Burns. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, his brother and the rest of the guys, I don't think they went on to stellar musical careers, but hopefully had good lives. But he really, I mean, let's face it, when you're going from that to, Edgar Winter Group, and he produced Frankenstein.
Yeah, and Alice Cooper. Yeah,
right.
I mean, exactly. Different artists.
And then he had, under his own name, his assumed name, Rick Derringer, he had Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo in 73.
Yep.
And that was originally recorded for Johnny Winter, but Derringer's version really eclipsed all. So yeah, he had a good life, but it was really a shock because he sailed through the surgery, and that was a couple of months ago, and everybody thought he was doing so well, and then Monday night he just collapsed. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So wow, that's sad to hear that.
Yeah.
This is probably a basic question to you, but I'm curious, what makes an AM station a class 1, 2, 3, or 4? Is it just power? Or okay.
Firstly, I don't think they are that anymore. I think it's since been revised.
Well, I mean, but let's say
okay,
the
1941 Accord is what did that. And remember, we have agreements with Canada and with Mexico in this accord, because there are Canadian clears
right.
and Mexican clears. In any event, everything was a 1, 2, 3, or 4. Now, 2 was actually just a daytimer on a 1 frequency. And ones were, there were two types of ones, 1As and 1Bs. And the difference for the most part was 1As were non-directional and 1Bs were directional. There are a couple examples where that's not true. WBZ, which is a 1A clear, they are directional because they don't want to pour wattage over the Atlantic Ocean, and who could blame them?
Yeah.
I think the KOA may be a 1B850 as well, but they're non-directional.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So you have some examples where that's not the truth, but each frequency was basically going to be a 1/2 or 3, which was regional, or a 4. Now, the logic on this goes back to early days of scarcity in audio. And you'd look at a map and you'd look at what they'd call the white space, where there was no radio at night. You know, they had some daytimers or what have you, or nothing. And so the idea for these higher power stations was you were going to be able to cover all that white space, particularly for farmers. And that's why, like, KFI stood for farm information originally. And you always had... You always had a lot of farm-related stuff, like Orion Samuelson on WGN. You know, this was a very, very big thing. It was sort of one of your mandates as a clear. The regional frequencies, class 3s, tended to be directional, but not only. So they were a wide variety of things. And of course, class 4s were, you know, 1,000-watt days, 250-watt night, non-directional, that was it. And then, of course, later it became 1,000 watts day and night, but non-directional. So they were the ones. And if you look, if you've got a book that shows every frequency and every pattern and all that, you'll see that on the class 4s, there's a ton of radio stations. I mean, a ton of them, because the separation is
now, that would be a fun book. I could sit around and read through
you
that
can,
for
You
days.
Can find them. There are still people who publish those. And I've got them, actually. So I will get that for you.
That's cool, Raleigh.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah. So that's pretty much what that is. And like I say, then you're deferring.
Wacky and KLO would have been class 3.
Yes, so. They are. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
So your class 4 frequencies, you can kind of tell them the 1450s and the 1490s and the 1230s and the 1240s, and you know what your class 4s are. So, but I'm pretty sure they don't do any of that anymore. But I stopped paying attention when they did away with first class licenses.
Yeah.
Oh, that broke my heart, actually. That was the 80s. And yeah, they sent me a general, and I thought, a general? I ripped it up and sent it back to them.
So.
But from what I understand, I wasn't alone. They apparently got a lot of them. So, and of course now they don't have anything. Mm-hmm. And thank God for things like the SBE, the Society for Broadcast Engineers, because they can actually certify people, because the FCC doesn't do that at all.
Wow, that's crazy. I had a couple other questions. I can hang on after the station break if that's all right.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I'm glad you noticed that, because I didn't. So hang on. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Yeah.
Okay.
I have no concept of time. Never did. Part of that ADD thing, I think. In any event, I know that Adam will keep me on the straight and narrow, and, Chad will too. And we'll be back to talk with Chad and your first request, Bumper Stumper. It was his, actually, coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Spiral Staircase, S-T-A-R-E, by the way, case. If you're looking for it on your computer. Yeah, it might take you a few minutes till you remember that. 1968 on Columbia. Chad in Kentuckiana had requested that, and I was happy to play because I like it, too. All right, Chad, there you go. Are you still with us? Chad, what's going on here? Wait a minute. I think Chad's with us. Oh, dear. Don't tell me this. Right, let me see what I can do. I'll put him on hold and try to bring him back and see. Are you there, Chad? All right, Chad's got to call us back. I hope it's not going to be the case with everybody. All right, yeah. Last night's trivia was a little lean, too, but I expected that on holidays, very often is. And so yeah, I earned that money. And so John earlier said, well, I hope tonight you'll get calls. Not as much as I hope. Yeah, boy. So let's see if Eduardo in Tampa can be heard. Are you there, Eduardo? No. Oh, this is not good. Oh, man. Now, I'm sitting at the studio in Globe, and everything seems to be working, but apparently not. So John is going to screen some more people and hopefully hear them. But I have no reason to know that that's true. Please, dear Lord. Yeah, that's right. I have no time for this. All right, let's see if we can hear Chad now. Oh, Chad, I hope I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Oh,
now,
thank
yeah.
God. Yes, I don't know what the hell that was, but good. I'm so glad. It's yeah. Hearing your voice is my favorite thing tonight.
Oh, my Lord, boy. I don't know about that now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I was listening on the AM radio there. The phone went dead on me, and I'm like, I don't know what happened, but
all right.
It did anyway.
Well, I'm glad we're back together again.
Yeah, me too. This is kind of a silly question, but I've got to ask because I was listening to the show last night. What was this about 200 spare keys?
Oh, geez. Oh, geez. All right. Yeah, so we're spending a lot more time in Globe because we have to get out of that property. We own three properties, but there's one that we've been renting for a while, and the only reason it's there is the world's most expensive climate-controlled storage because we just don't get the stuff out of there. So we finally said, we've got to get out of there. And so we regularly come back to Globe. Like today, I unloaded boxes of laser discs. You know, I'll tell you what.
Oh,
so,
my
yeah,
God.
Got all those filed. And, of course, I haven't even touched the records yet. I don't even want to think about that. But anyway, I've been packing it. So so we come back usually on Saturday and stay through about Thursday, and then I drive home and do the show Thursday night from the Valley. So we're approaching Globe. I mean, it's in sight. And John says, I hate to tell you this, but I forgot the keys. Now, that's the keys to all the properties. And I said, none to worry. We have spares. I said, that's the good news. The bad news, there's 250 of them and none of them are labeled. And so
we
get here and I take out this vat of keys. I mean, literally, I spill them all out on the desk. And I said, well, the first thing I'll do is try to match them together to see how many individuals we have, because some of these obviously are going to be duplicates, triplicates, quadruplicates, on and on. So I spent a whole day doing this. And then, of course, I got a bunch of locks. Now, that aren't on things. So that shouldn't matter, but I think to myself, it'd be nice if some of these keys fit some of these locks. Well, right. Emphasis on some. Some of them did. Most did not. So then what I had to do was go to each location with the vat of keys and try each one until we could figure out what belonged to what. Now, the good news is, I opened everything. The bad news is, it was 2 days of my life I'll never get back.
My Lord, I never heard nothing like that.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. So, you know, the thing I said to John, I said, you know, enough of this. I am going to go ahead and take a copy of each of these keys, label them, and put them on my key ring. As it is, I have a key ring that has like 60 ring keys on it anyway. I once lost it at the post office. And when I came to get them, the guys, I said, are you a janitor? So, but I will have a keychain with all of this because I just can't do this again. So,
No. Yeah. No, you don't want to lose 2 more days of your life.
Right. Well, exactly. But now, of course, we still have. So we now know what goes to every lock. But we still have approximately 100 keys that have no purpose that I can ascertain. Don't know what they are. I've tried boat
locks.
That
could have been from some previous city you lived in.
Oh, no, it could have been from right here, a previous lock. Because one of the problems is when you have workers and all that and you're giving out keys, after a while you say, too many keys out there. I think I'll change the locks. So,
yeah.
So it's possible that some of these keys, and of course on the Connex boxes, each one's got a couple of different locks, you know, and all that. So, it's a lot. It's an awful lot. But I figure if I cannot, in the next 2 months, give myself 2 months here, figure out what the rest of those keys go to, I am throwing them out.
Going in the garbage.
That's right. Along with the locks that don't seem to have keys.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I don't even want to try to think of you moving your records. Oh, my
God. Absolutely. And, of course, they're going to 4 different places is the problem. So you not only have to move them.
I heard you mention that.
Yeah, you know, I want some here. I want some at the other studio. I want some in the box behind the studio. I want some by the AM. And so, you know, of course, you got to go through all that.
Yep. Oh, boy.
So then I've got...
Thank you so much for playing my request.
Oh, sure.
I appreciate it.
Sure. Do you have another one?
I do. It's, I guess it would be a Wimpy White record.
The Spiral Staircase wasn't a Wimpy White record?
that's true, it was. This group was on the Cath label and came out in spring of 69 and did pretty good here in Louisville. I think they were from Milwaukee, the Prophets.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, as you were saying that, I wrote it, and the Prophets, it's T-H-E-E. You know, you have to have two E's in that. Yeah, absolutely.
So that made the top 10 here. It got played a lot in Louisville. It was one of them regional hits, I guess.
I thought it was a hit everywhere, wasn't it?
I think it got into maybe the 50s or 60s or something.
I'd have to look it up. I have the album.
They have an album?
Yes, they have an album. I not only had the single on cap, but I have the album. Yes.
Wow, I did not know they had an album. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, they do. And I should. I'll be packing it soon. I should probably set it aside to play all of it or not. But
I appreciate that, Raleigh, and thanks for holding me over and talking to me tonight. And
I'll
give you a call either tomorrow or Thursday night.
No, that sounds wonderful. And tomorrow night you will hear Playgirl. And I don't know. Yeah. I might have to play something from the album. It's hard to say. They did a version of Shame, Shame. No, we're going to forget about that. All right. They also did a version of Some Kind of Wonderful. But, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a version of Kind of a Drag. We're going to forget about those.
I don't think I'm going to hear that.
Yeah, but you'll definitely get Playgirl, sure. I'm happy to do it.
All right,
thanks.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
talk to
Raleigh.
You soon. Okay, bye. All right,
okay.
So absolutely, The Prophets. Why not? And they were Milwaukee local, and it was Brian Lake's group. I don't know what happened to them, or how they got on cap for that matter. But I'm sure there's a story there. So let's see. Eduardo in Tampa calls back now. Do we hear him this time? Are you there, Eduardo?
Yeah, Riley.
All right.
I was on hold, and I heard dead silence, and I had a call back.
All right. Yes. Very good. Excellent.
Yeah. So, all right. So I did the safe management training. This is about work on the stadium.
What was the what was the weirdest thing you learned?
Well, I have to say that I was disappointed with the training because you're sitting in a classroom. This is a training where you're going to be doing anything from ticket scanning to ushering to scanning for security, and you're sitting there the couple hours inside of a room where you should have been walking around kind of being demonstrated these different jobs that you're going to be. Instead, you're inside just looking at a projector. So I thought it was very disappointing that they did it that way.
Now, did they have a section on risk assessment?
Yeah, they talked about the different jobs that you were going to be doing, and on the movie screen. Mm-hmm. And instead, they should have walked people around the stadium, get them familiar with the stadium, because you got to direct people where they're going to be at, how you're going to be scanning tickets, how you're going to pass people through the security monitors. And instead, you're sitting in a room, for a couple hours.
Yeah, no, I asked about risk management because I was kind of curious what they considered a risk.
Yeah, I mean, they went through all those scenarios, including stuff that happens in the news, with like those people that were killed in D.C. I mean, they put it with modern times with what could happen.
So, that's a good question. So here you are, you're at the stadium and a shooting breaks up. What are you supposed to do?
Well, you're going to be calling the armed people. I mean, because you're not going to be doing anything
right.
with that.
You're not going to be doing anything. You're just going to be calling someone else. All right.
Right.
So you walk in and they give you a bunch of phone numbers. That's your training. Okay.
Yeah. I thought they should have walked people around the stadium and, gone through the different positions in the stadium and job tasks that instead of being in a single room.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I thought that was kind of disappointing that they did that.
Okay.
Yeah. But I did get a email Friday about that hospital job.
Yes.
The one I've been chasing.
Forever.
I know. It feels like forever. Yeah. So it's kind of like moving to the next stage. So I got my fingers crossed that there'll be some movement on that in the following days. I mean, I don't know what you would do as far as the interview, since I already interviewed for that position.
So, right.
Yeah. So this will be interesting, too.
Well, at least they contacted you.
Yeah, that was good news, too.
Yeah.
I mean, on the subject of jobs, I went to my bank today, and there's usually like three people there at the desk. And I was disappointed because I thought they could have mentioned, because two of them left.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not surprising because, nowadays they don't do the, I'm going to be at a job for 20 years. Mm-hmm. They're there for a while and then that's it. They move on. So I thought we developed a pretty good relationship. I thought they could have mentioned, knowing that they were going to be leaving, hey, let me mention to Eduardo, we got a couple people leaving here. Maybe you might be interested, and say there was nothing about that. I did suspect somebody that was there. I go, why isn't this person here? And then today I find out, yes, because they left. And then I find out there's another person.
Right, but there's a big but here. Are they going to replace them?
They did.
Oh, they did.
Because there's already, I didn't see the other person get replaced, but I saw one of them replaced because it was two males and a lady.
Okay.
So they already had a new lady there. The other one, I don't know if they were in the office, because I saw the supervisor talking to somebody. I don't know if that was the other person. But, it was kind of disappointing because I thought they could have brought that up because that could have been, I could even try it out for that.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm interested about them hiring other people because increasingly, especially in the banking industry, you're seeing people leaving, not being replaced, because the push is to get everybody out of those branches and into online accounts. And they try to make it very sweet for customers with much better interest rates if you're having savings and things like that, because they really don't want the people using the branches anymore. So I think it's actually somewhat hopeful that they replaced people.
Yeah, and with that particular bank, so they got one in downtown Tampa, and the other one that they have is in Brandon.
Uh-huh.
I've been to both of them.
Right.
So.
All right.
So that's interesting that, but I hope that they pretty much, that's the other thing I get concerned about, is because I like to have the physical interaction with somebody there.
Yes, I agree.
I don't like that.
But it's becoming rarer and rarer. Right. But if you mention two branches, is it just a two-branch bank? Is it not owned by one of the biggies?
Well, we're talking about BMO. I mean,
let me tell you what. If you're talking about BMO, they want you online just any way they can get you online. And BMO has bought a lot of banks. They've done a lot of consolidation. And in all cases, they want to get you online. So
yeah, I have that one. And then the other one I have is Fifth Third. That's the other one.
Oh, yeah, Fifth Third out of Cincinnati and BMO out of Montreal. So, yeah. And, BMO, I mean, Bank of Montreal, that goes back to, like, 1817. It's the oldest bank in Canada. But they really, over the last decade or two, have just become giant. And they've got, BMO US has a ton of banks now.
Yeah, the thing with Fifth Third, at least in this area, is that they're open on Saturdays. And very few are open on Saturdays, I notice.
Yeah.
But Fifth Third is open on Saturdays.
Yeah, Fifth Third goes back to the 1850s, also the 1800s, and it was Bank of the Ohio Valley. And the reason they're Fifth Third was 1908, they merged Fifth National Bank and Third National Bank, and that became Fifth Third Bank.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember when they got their ATM machines in the, the late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. God, one of the general managers in Cincinnati was very upset with it, and there was actually a picture in the paper of him kicking the ATM machine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was one of my favorites, but yes, you betcha. So, yeah, well, they're both big, obviously, that's the deal. And so, yeah, Fifth Third, it was the Genie Network, Jeanie, and Genie. And 1977,
yeah.
And the guy actually was Charlie Murdoch at WLW, and he literally accosted the machine. So there you have it. And that was at the time that was revolutionary, because that was the first time you could access cash 24/7 if you could get the machine to work.
Yeah, I wanted to comment that I love this that they come on during Memorial Day, and that's the PBS National Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Very nice program that they do every year honoring the veterans.
Of course.
So that's very nice.
Yeah, good.
I'm thinking about going to maybe the 4th of July for the Capitol 4, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be neat to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something to think about.
Good deal. Yeah. All right.
Okay, Raleigh.
Well, thanks for the updates. Appreciate it. All right, good deal.
Thank you very much, Raleigh. Okay.
Absolutely. 888-876-5593. We'll get to James on the South Side. There's room for you, too, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and we have another 2 hours, and actually, that's about it, 2 hours, yes, because we're coming up to the news again, and God knows I can't be late, so wouldn't want to do that. So we have more of your requests, and in fact, James on the south side has some requests he wants us to do. But Brenda is a first-time caller, and I hate for first-time callers to have to wait through the news because basically they won't do it. So if John releases Brenda, we'll spend about 30 seconds talking to her. All right, so we'll see what we can do. Not happening yet, but we'll see. If not, well, I guess we'll see if John can convince her to hold on, because that's what it's going to take. All right, so looking forward to... here we go. So I got to tell Brenda. So Brenda, we're about to hit the news. Can I beg you to hold on a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay, good. It's probably about 6-7 minutes, so if you have anywhere you want to go or whatever, it's plenty of time to do it. But you will be first up, so don't go away.
All right.
All right, good deal. And so we'll find out what's going on in the world at large right now on WGN Radio.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me Israelites, get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Oh, me Israelite.
Wipe on my kids, step up and I leave me. Darling, she said I was yours to receive.
Oh, me Israelite.
Shut them a tear up, choices ago. I don't want to end up like Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, Israelite.
After a storm, there must be a calm. If you catch me in a palm, you sound your alarm.
The Israelite.
I said I get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Oh, the Israelite, sir.
WGN Radio. Well, actually, I'm saying that no one... it's John and Raleigh, and that's Adam. What's up?
Okay, so far I got nothing coming from you guys. I got a bunch of packet loss, so okay. Maybe you drop the connection and try and reconnect it.
I'll drop it and reconnect it right now. I just dropped. I'm reconnecting. Okay, and it says requesting call. It won't give it to me, so it's at your end. Give me another remote to use.
It's on my end.
Yeah.
Yes. You could try remote 5.
All right, 5 it is. I'm connected. All right.
Okay, let me switch over there. Hang on. Okay, go ahead and talk to me online.
WGN Radio.
Okay, I hear that.
All right, then.
All right, we got, I'll talk to you here. We got 10 seconds here. Stand by.
All right, I'll start Desmond Decker over. All right. Hang on, Brenda. Don't go away. We're reinventing the wheel, as you can see.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Oh, me Israelite,
sir. Up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Oh, me Israelite.
Wipe on my kids, step up and I leave me. Darling, she said I was yours to receive.
Oh, me Israelite.
My tear up choices ago. I don't want to end up like Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, the Israelite.
After a storm, there must be a calm. If you catch me in a palm, you sound your alarm.
Oh, the Israelite.
Yeah.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was for Jeff, 1969 on Uni. And of course, if you were listening to the stream, you got to hear it first. But if you're listening to WGN Radio, well, we're back, and we're talking to Brenda, who's a first-time caller. So, Brenda, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I just wanted to say I really enjoy your show. I've been listening for about 4 years while I'm out driving for work.
Oh, that's great. Well, so tell me about driving. Is this for work?
Yeah, I'm an area manager for a janitorial company, so I'm out doing inspections, and I do banks.
Oh, wow. So, that's got to be interesting.
Yeah.
That's got to be really interesting.
I started doing it about 8 years ago before COVID, so we went through that whole fiasco with that. It was horrible.
Jeez.
But you were talking about the whole ATM thing, and I've noticed that Bank of America, they're going to virtual. They still have freestanding machines, and then some. They'll squeeze in a little room just about any area. You know, they're small. But they started this whole virtual banking thing now, and even advanced virtual bankings where some of them have like a restroom in them. But yeah, I mean, they're really cutting down on a lot of the branches that are walk-in branches, and there's older people that complain about that. You know, there's people that. You know, because you can't print anything, it's kind of limited.
Well, there's a lot of us complaining about it because unlike credit cards where you have federal protection, you're only responsible for the first $50 if you didn't tell them. After that, and if you did tell them, you're responsible for nothing. So if something goes wrong, you're not hanging. But that is not true with debit cards. It's not true with ATM cards. And so when a bank is saying you have to deal with us online, you're trusting them to get it right because you may be the one hanging for it.
Exactly. And I've also noticed they send out, you know, sometimes you'll get an email. Well, you obviously have to be smart enough that you're not going to fall for being spam. So
right.
I would just, you know, not answer it and just call my bank directly and say, hey, did somebody send me an email?
Exactly right. And especially if you're one of the bigger banks, if you're Bank AmeriCard or your Chase or one of those. Yeah, because the scammers know that those banks are so large, if they send out a million different scam things, they're going to hit some people who bank there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been with, you know, doing J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America, and it's crazy because some of them, they have like the Merrill Lynch is in some of the branches. Well, they all have a Merrill Lynch representative in them, but some of them are actually just a Merrill Lynch, and they may have a virtual ATM attached to the side of that Merrill Lynch investment, you know.
Exactly.
And a lot of people are getting very frustrated with that.
I don't blame them at all. And I think... It's going to be a great, great marketing system for anybody who's willing to not do that. Because right now you can be in a lot of areas where literally you've got no choice. It's just three or four of the big guys, nothing else. And, you know, if somebody could come in and actually have customer service, I think they'd wipe everybody up.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like I said, the thing that irritates me is that sometimes I'll go in and I'll want a printout from something and I'll have to drive further to go to a branch that actually... and print something out or pull up a video or whatever, you know.
Right. And when you say you want a printout, they think that you're the devil because they're all about paperless. Well, you don't need a printout. We'll just put it online.
Well, I'm old school and I like things printed out where I can see it in my front of my face. And
me too.
You know, I mean, I'm still screenshotting things that are sent to me just so that I can like it.
No, I'm with you. And every time I get something from another one of these companies, a utility or whatever, we're going paperless. I say, well, if you don't want to get paid, that's all right. But if you really want my money, you'd better send me a piece of paper and it better be in the mail.
Oh, yeah. My parents never did do the whole internet thing. They didn't want any part of it. And, you know, of course, this was back, you know, my dad passed in 2001 and my mom in 2012. And neither one of them ever did anything internet. So how are they going to get their bills you know, and some of them are even giving you a discount if you go paperless.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, that's the carrot and the stick, of course. The discount doesn't last, but they'll get you into the system. Yeah. I find it crazy. And with some, I've got one utility, I think it's the gas company, where every time I go to pay the bill online, they automatically switch me to paperless billing. I'm like, well, if you don't want to get paid, you know, and so I got to switch myself back. So, they see this as a way to get rid of employees. And it works, except it leaves the rest of us becoming screaming memes. When I say everybody's on their last nerve, it's because they're dealing with this all day.
Well, and, you know, I don't think it was even too much of a thing until COVID, because you had all these people that were at home in the branches. I mean, if they had a customer that came in, they would close for 5 days. But somebody in the branch had it, they would close for 10 days. What were these people going to do if they weren't using ATMs or, you know, so they started coming out with these virtual ATMs where you're actually at a screen face to face, but you still don't have the ability to do, you know, there's no printer in those rooms.
Of course not. Of course, no. But you're right. COVID was very instructional. They realized that for the most part, people will go along with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really pulled a big number on the whole banking thing.
It was
bad, and you know, I'd be in there, you know, filling in for a cleaner or something, and my boss like, "Where are you at?" And I'd tell him, he'd say, "You need to just drop everything and go."
Right.
Well, I can't do that. The branch is going to be closed for 10 days, so I'd pull the trash, and then I'd have to go back and do a fogging, and it was horrible. Wiping every single thing down, they'd throw away everything.
Oh god,
it was so wasteful. It was very wasteful.
So I gotta ask, because obviously you do things other than banks. What are the dirtiest businesses?
Oh my gosh! I'm gonna say, I was in the factory part of it when I first came into this company, and it was there was a company called Dana, and they do brakes like for big trucks.
Yep.
So the entire building is filled full of black dust.
Oh, God.
And it's not just dust. It sticks to everything. Oh. And that's part of the reason I came into the whole retail side, you know, because it was hard to breathe, and it was just nasty, filthy, dirty. Couldn't keep staffing in there. Oh. I was constantly having to hire people. Honeywell, Dana, any of those kind of factories that have oils and, you know, brake dust and that kind of thing.
Oh, God. I would think that would be a health hazard if you did it for too long.
Oh, yeah, you would think. And you don't see anybody walking around in those buildings wearing masks. No,
really?
No, they just don't.
Yeah, really makes you wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing this for like 45 years, and I think right now I'm pretty much the happiest doing the banks. I mean, they can get a little picky, but they're paying for that service.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, janitorial, cleaners, you know, they're not paid the greatest, you know, but the expectation is high. So that's a little bit of a struggle. And as a manager, I'm dealing with all sides. My business, you know, my company that I work for, and then the janitor, you know, the cleaners on their side.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and, you know, there's been people that got COVID and tried to sue companies over it, you know.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, that bank was closed and it was disinfected, so you did not get it from going into that bank.
Too many lawyers. Clearly, too many lawyers. Yeah, I tell you what. Yeah. Well, it kind of sounds thankless, but boy, thank God for what you do. I mean, invisible thing, but it helps us all.
Well, you know, and a lot of people look down on this service, but you know, when they go home at night, they're cleaning their toilets just the same as we're doing it.
Exactly.
It's just we're getting paid for it.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you take me along for the ride. I'm thrilled that you're listening.
Definitely. Yeah. I started listening about 4 years ago, and I liked the variety that you do. You know, you don't deal with news, and we can get that anywhere.
Yes.
So I like the variety, and I learn new things from your recurring customers, you know, people that call back.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
yeah,
great.
Several of
great.
Those. Yeah.
Well, I hope you're going to call me again.
Oh, I saved the number.
Yay. All right. Good deal. Well, I'll look forward to it, Brenda. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Yeah, how nice. We got to meet Brenda, and I get to go along for the ride. I love to ride. All right, so 888-876-5593. James on the south side has some requests. All right, James, what's your requesting?
Okay, I'm going to... The first one actually kind of takes into what I'm going to say, The World's Gone Crazy by Waylon Jennings.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to say... By the way,
isn't that The World's Gone to Pot?
I think it was at least from what I was looking at. I said, it's titled out as The World's Gone Crazy, yeah. and it's titled in parentheses Cotillion. I'm like thinking, whoa, okay.
I'll get it on for you.
Okay, also, okay, gotta do a Patsy Cline, so I'll put Always.
Okay.
I thought about also doing Crazy, but Crazy gets run a little bit too much at times.
All right.
Okay, and of course, Johnny Mathis, It's Not For Me to Say.
Okay.
Also, I did have something for you. You can look it up, basically.
Okay.
One is about a woman sued Northeastern, and she was a senior. They basically, for $8,000, she went back tuition because her instructor taught most of the class used the materials constructed from AI.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. That'll be an interesting lawsuit. All right, I'll look for that.
Yeah, and then one other one I got for you, also about a doctor performed chemotherapy on healthy patients.
Oh, this happens too often, but thank you for that. I'll look at the latest. Where was he?
Okay, I think he was in, the South, Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
That'd be perfect, yeah. All right, I'll look for that. Good. Well, thank you for those, and thanks. You were one of the people who sent me the Rick Zeringer news, so I appreciate it.
Okay, I will say one other thing. They remembered about that UPS clerk who stole $1.9 million
in
checks?
Yes.
Okay, he got sentenced to 27 months in jail.
Only 27 months? Does he have to pay it back?
I hope he does, because although there's no way he can, because who's going to hire him?
No one. No.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's 27 months.
Huh. Yeah, and that makes you ask the question of, who's doing what? Oh, and by the way, here's something for those reality things. Okay, you might want to look up. A reality TV producer, Rob Warsoff, revealed he pitched a story to the Department of Homeland Security about a game show in which desperate immigrants would compete for the prize of U.S. citizenship.
No. All right.
That's just political.
Yeah, right. No. We'll just pretend you didn't even say it. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, James. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
You take care. Right. Yeah.
I hope your holiday was good.
Well, I was working, but that's all right. That was good.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. I had an idea you could do with the keys.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, you could use it like the nunchucks.
Oh, God. All right, then. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll move right along swiftly. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. We're going to talk about radio with Jim in New Hampshire. And we're going to get an update from Jim in Richmond, find out about a sister and a sister-in-law. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
must be Monday, I feel low down and blue. Said it must be Monday, I feel low down and blue. Baby, see what you can do.
Lost my sugar on Sugar Hill. Lost my sugar way on Sugar Hill. Sugar, that's a bitter pill. Must be shorty, 'cause Joe's got hair. Shorty, 'cause Joe's got hair. Hey, shorty, put your rug up there.
You must be merry, 'cause Tilly's big and fat. You must be merry, 'cause Tilly's big and fat. Merry, merry, don't
you get like that. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It must be jelly, because jam don't shake like that. All right, Woody Herman, 1944 on Brunswick. The female vocalist, by the way, was Frances Wayne, and that was Woody himself doing the vocals. So Dave on the North Side wanted to hear that for his girl, Betty, and now he has. So 888-876-5593, Jim in Richmond. Let's have the update. How's your sister doing?
Oh, first off, Adam, you're a genius.
Okay.
And secondly, I have... things have not gone right with the health care stuff with both my sister and my sister-in-law.
Mm.
And we'll start with my sister. She has been in rehab, I told you about.
Yeah.
And she's been in that rehab now for over a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. And Sunday, they were taking her to teach her to walk again,
mm-hmm.
and her knee buckled.
Okay.
And the physical therapist says, boy, is your leg's puffy, and your knee puffy, and your leg is puffy. And my brother was there, and he's gone out of control, but he, because it's ridiculous, he says, we've been telling you that since the day she entered.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, I'm just a physical therapist and all that. So then he calls the nurses, and the nurses go, oh, okay, we'll take note. And then so it turned out that he really went crazy because her phone was stolen.
Okay.
And he even went to the cafeteria and searched the garbage in case mm-hmm. it was on her dinner plate,
right.
And they can't find it anywhere in the rehab center. So then he goes and he's talking to the supervisor, and they said, she's on LASIK. He said, yeah, when was she on LASIK? Oh, today. What do you mean today? She's been in here for a week and a half, and her legs are swollen and everything. Well, I have to look into that. What do you mean look into that? And he's like losing it, and it's like, and then they go, oh, and Medicare says she has to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not getting the proper care, and mm-hmm. he's just going crazy. He's mm-hmm. He was in the supervisor's office, he was in this, and he's talking to the nurses, and the nurse, he goes, how come she's not been on it? Well, I don't have that information.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? You know? And he's just going crazy, and he's going to go back again tomorrow, because he's there for all her PT,
mm-hmm.
because if they send her home, he's going to have to take him to his house, because he has a ranch and she can't do stairs, you know?
Okay.
So
now, let me ask you, do not mention the name of the facility, okay? Do not. But what I want to know, is this truly a rehab hospital, or is it a convalescent hospital, or is it a skilled nursing hospital?
I can't answer that question because I'm not involved.
Well,
I am so upset, because if I could see, I'd be there.
Yeah, well, what I can tell you is that if it is a rehab facility, they should be doing mm-hmm. better than this, to say the least. But if it's skilled nursing mm-hmm. or convalescent, unfortunately, this is not uncommon.
This is a rehabilitation place.
Okay, it really is a rehab hospital. Okay.
Right, and it's right behind the big hospital.
Okay. Well, the other thing, of course, is does she have a doctor who is coordinating her care, like a doctor from the other hospital or all of that?
Well, that was discussed today because what's going on, when she lost her phone, they asked her, what's your service? She goes, I don't know. She goes, what's your password? I don't know. So that's what they're dealing with, you know, with my sister. And, you know, they finally found...
Well, by the way, that saying I don't know when they ask your password is exactly what you should say. That's not what they...
No,
they don't...
my brother's asking her for her password they can find her phone.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All
right.
And she's going, I don't know.
Yeah.
She goes, well, you know, what service do you have? She goes, I don't know. So that's what they're dealing with my sister.
All right. Does she live alone?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well... it sounds like maybe might be a time to revisit that.
Right, and that's being dealt with.
Yeah.
And like I said, my brother's taken them to his house, and it just so happens that his wife and my sister are best friends. So, but it's just, I just don't understand this, you know, and like I said, it's a rehabilitation center. It's not like she's put in a home, you know.
Right, but you still have a situation where you would want your primary physician to be involved to the extent of giving orders, especially medical things. But the other thing is, in terms of Medicare, they have their schedule and they will kick her out, period. There's nothing you're going to be able to do about that. There are many exercises that she can be doing at home. And if your brother's going to be there, if he can...
Right.
And,
that's why he's...
Yeah.
That's why he's there at every physical therapy.
All right. So then he'll be able to follow.
You know,
all right. So that's that one.
I have to tell you, my brother asked her who her primary care doctor is. She goes, I don't know.
I understand. No, believe me, you painted the picture.
No, because she's not retaining anything.
Right. You painted the picture. I understand. So, you know, obviously something's going to have to happen there. But it sounds like your brother is at least going to be aware of what rehab exercises she should be doing, and he'll be working with her. It's not ideal, but it's much better than just having her fend for herself. So, okay, so that's where that's where your sister is. Now, your sister-in-law?
Now, it started a year ago on the 25th of May, where my sister-in-law, my brother, redid their whole double wide and put in a shower and everything, and she fell, landed flat on her face, and that was on her anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been going through everything. And when they her legs were so swollen, the rehab center, after they got out of the hospital, cut her leg with a deep wound.
Oh, God.
And they had to pack it and everything to get the fluid out.
Oh, God.
And that was the rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my brother was telling me all this thing. One, you know, then the hospital put her on to get the water out of her body.
Yeah.
And then her kidney shut down.
Okay.
And then the doctor gave her more fluid and caused her to swell up again. So he's been going through a whole bunch of stuff. He was so upset. We talked for a half hour. He told me all the things, and I'm going, what the heck, you know? And so now she's on the 25th of this month, their anniversary again.
Mm-hmm.
He was fixing her chair and banged her leg.
Uh-huh.
And her leg swelled up real fast and real hard that she was in tremendous pain, and she ended up in the hospital again. That's where she's at now.
Mm-hmm.
And today, they said, we're going to have to do surgery to get the fluid out.
Oh, God.
You know, we're going to have to cut you to get the fluid out.
Oh.
And then he called me up today. He was so upset. He goes, they removed her skin.
Oh, God.
They said her skin was dead, and they removed her skin. And he says now she's going to have to be in there for a week or more to, you know, take care of her leg. But she's not at the rehab place. She's at the hospital.
Okay.
And then he's like, you know, going out of his mind.
Wow.
for all she's gone through.
Well, the good news in this, Jim, is that your brother is on top of this and is handling it. And so you don't need to make it your problem, because you've got a lot on your plate. And it's important that you don't stress yourself over things you cannot control.
No, I'm trying to help.
Well, but right now, maybe the best help you can do is taking care of yourself.
And after a week, I finally talked to my friend that she's up at her campground, and she said the exact same thing.
Well,
it's not your problem.
It's not, and it's important. You know, one of the things when you're a caregiver of any sort is first you have to take care of yourself, because you can't be any good to someone else if you're not in good shape. And so since this is a situation where you're not available to be on hand, and this is being handled by other siblings, do not give this emotional energy. It's not healthy for you.
Right. But I'm just... Well, not happy with the health care stuff.
Well, no one is.
Right.
You know, I hate to say it, but no one is. It's a tremendously broken system, and that's for another show, but I can tell you that there's no quick fix.
Right. And I was just giving you an update.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did, but what I really want is you to take care of you.
Oh, I'm taking care of me. I'm good.
Okay.
After that stupid, he gave me that... steroid shot.
Yeah.
And my eye wasn't even swollen.
Okay.
I went through a whole day and a half. I could not get my blood sugars down to save my soul.
Yeah.
And I couldn't eat anything because if I ate something, they would go up super high.
Of course.
So it was 2 days of that. And then now my blood sugars are back to normal.
Good.
But my eyesight is the same.
Right.
Is worse than what it was when he gave me the shot. So... that's what's happening with me.
No, I know. You're fighting a losing battle with the vision thing as you know it. And that's why I'm hoping that you can kind of separate yourself from all the things that are going on with the family and get back on track with starting to figure out how you can be independent.
Right. And I've been working and working on that.
All right.
And I won the battle. I have to tell you, I won the battle. I've been getting my Libre 3 Plus sensors through that, you know, the health center. In other words, I go to Mercy Health for the hospital. My doctors are all through Mercy and everything. And I've been getting my sensors through them.
Okay.
So then I looked into it and I found out that I'm paying, after the insurance, I'm paying $24.50 a sensor. And then that day that they couldn't help me when my sensor went dead and I didn't have one, and I called up Walmart, and then I got it okayed, I got the sensor for $14.50.
Good.
So now I called up, and on the 26th or something, they were supposed to refill my 3-month supply through Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And I called up, I don't want it.
Right.
I don't fill them. And then today... I got my 2 sensors from Walmart for $29.
All right. So good.
So for the last 5 years, I've been paying $10 more than I should be from,
Well, good.
From that. So I won that battle.
Excellent. Well, let's consider that a win and look at the good things.
Mm-hmm. And everybody... say a prayer for my
Oh, you betcha. For your sister, your sister-in-law and your sister. I mean, it's horrifying. It truly is. But you're not in a position where you can, do much to change this. So that's why I don't want it to eat away at you.
Right.
All right.
If I could drive, I'd be there.
I know. But it is what it is. And you do have a sibling who's there. So you have to kind of turn it over and pray for the best possible outcome. I'm so sorry to hear it. I really am.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Jim.
Okay.
All right.
Fine.
So, sometimes you have to realize what battles you're just not in a position to fight, unfortunately. But, yeah. Oh, that sounds just horrible. All right. Took off her skin. I don't even want to know. All right. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Isaac in a moment. Back to New Orleans. There's only 2 prison escapees left on the lam. We'll talk about that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And that, of course, is Link Ray, Rumble, 1958 on Cadence. Don and Beloit wanted to hear that. You know, I looked at the label. It says Milt Grant co-wrote it. I laughed. Something tells me that's just not totally accurate. Milt Grant was the D.C. king of teenage dance shows back then. So, yeah, convenient, isn't it? Sort of like all the records that Alan Freed co-wrote. Or not. Isaac on the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Good evening, Raleigh.
So we got our prisoners. We're down to two now.
We're down to two. Okay, I'm not saying that I actually literally put money on it, but I thought the guy, I think his name was Van Burton, Hinton Van Burton. I thought he was going to be like the last to be captured. Yeah. Just going off of his photo alone, I thought that he looked like the most intelligent, but looks can be deceiving.
Yeah. Well, and then so, the other thing is, let's face it, luck comes into play too.
I agree. That is true. So the, one of their grandmothers has been arrested. She has a mugshot because she was found giving
harboring
the money.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Anna's sister. I don't see where they have arrested the sister, but one of their sisters, she said that they told her to be waiting for them when they broke out. So they, you know, knew about this before and stuff. You know, the grandmother, I'm not going to say, you know, she could not have thought that they were going to not be captured. And if she were smart, she would have gotten, you know, offered, you know, they're offering $20,000 to capture them. She should have put them up. I'm just saying, like, you know, they're going to go back to jail. So, like, you might as well get something anyway.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, right. Two of them were caught together in Texas.
Yes.
Right outside of Houston.
Yeah.
And that leaves one of them. I don't know if you're familiar with the rapper Lil Wayne. But
oh, yes, of course. Lil Wayne.
Okay.
You betcha.
One of them has relations, kind of vague relations to Lil Wayne, and they say that he is used to being on the run. That's the one, I don't know his name. He has tattoos all over his face. He's kind of like him. Either way, moving on, last night, I don't know if you're up on this hot topic. Last night at the American Music Awards, are you familiar with Shaboozey, the country music artist?
Yes. I mean, I'm aware of them, but I don't know much. Like, I couldn't recognize a record, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it's – I'm not a big Shaboozey fan. But, okay, they were giving some sort of award away. I didn't watch it, didn't know it was on. But they were giving some sort of country music award away, and the lady that he was with, they were reading off the teleprompter, and she said that the Carter family created country music.
Oh,
and
God.
He looked at her sideways. And I'm saying, I don't really know who the Carter family is. You know, I do know June Carter, but I don't know them, you know, very well. Is that strongly inaccurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say it's strongly inaccurate. Yeah.
Okay. And why is that?
Well, firstly, you know, it's just like when we argue about what was the first rock and roll record or whatever. Things
sure.
don't happen digitally like that. It evolves. And certainly the Carter family were involved in terms of early country that we would think about. But to say that they're responsible for it, there's just no way.
Would it be accurate if she was to say modern country?
No, you see, again, don't give this to anybody. And by the way, I would go far saying the Carter family had nothing in common with modern country. And also, let's talk about when are you defining modern country? If you're talking about the latter 60s when countrypolitan kind of came in and some stuff had strings and you were hearing it very different than the whining Kitty Wells stuff, that's one line of demarcation. But that's very different than what country is today.
True, I agree.
So,
and that's what I meant. Because how far back are we talking for the Carter family?
Oh, very far.
Okay.
Yeah, no, and, you know, would I say, by the way, I think that they were recording in the 20s, as far as that goes. But, you know, some people would say that they were the first to become country music stars. Well, there again, that's arguable. And and certainly they were among the first to record commercially produced country music. But to say they were the first, I just wouldn't go there.
Okay. I was actually defending her. I felt that they were giving some sort of award as an accolade, and they were giving these, you know, huge compliments. So that's just another compliment. Just like we say, James Brown is the king of
yes.
this, or
yes.
Michael is the
right. And,
you know, and I think people were taking it literally.
No,
and I'm like,
right.
I don't think it's taking away from anyone who has.
No.
You know, he went on later on to name these artists, like
Roy.
Steve Tartar, Harry Gay, Delpho Bailey. And after I looked them up, I'm like, you know, this is so far back, I'm having difficulties even finding records from them. So,
right. No,
you know,
when you're talking about quote-unquote modern country music, you know, from we're talking the 40s, the 50s, things like that, you're mm-hmm. talking about the Roy Acuffs of the world.
Yes.
And there's a number of people like that. And you can look at the early Grand Ole Opry lineups, because I'm sure that's online. And you'll see a lot of names. But like a Roy
okay.
Acuff, who was very powerful in Nashville, to say the least. You know, he was called at the time the king of country music,
right.
And all that. So, you know, did the Carter family has a place? Absolutely, they have a place. But did
okay.
did they spawn the entire industry? Yeah, I'd look at her sideways too.
Okay, all right. Then you have settled a beef with my friends. I'm wrong. She's right. Okay, all right.
You
thank
know,
you, Raleigh.
No,
okay.
Well, and again, not to take away from them by any means, just to say, and I don't think you can do that like we often talk, like with Soul or Top 40 or whatever, to say mm-hmm. this is the definitive point. Everything evolves.
You know, and even this movie Sinners just came out, and I think that not to get political or anything, you know, I agree, no one person, no one community, no one race makes all of anything, you know,
right.
As America is a melting pot, and we take from each other to create it. And my thing is that I feel like country music, you know, just to say, like, you know, it's no surprise to anybody that black people are not the biggest country music connoisseurs. And so I feel like we're trying to take something that, you know, we don't even listen to. So how are we laying claim to it?
You know, it's really interesting, because I think there's probably a lot more commonality between country and soul than anything else. And especially the lyrics and the topics and all that. So I'd see a lot of commonality. And you did have the occasional, you know, Charlie Pride of the world. And that's not the only example. O.B. McClinton, we could go on and on. There are mm-hmm. are several. But I remember when RCA, it was Chet Atkins who was pitching Charlie Pride to RCA. And he was at a meeting with all these guys from New York. And he's playing stuff, and he's, you know, handing out pictures of everybody. And so he plays a Charlie Pride that they really love. And he hands out the picture, and they said, no, not that guy, the guy we just heard. And they said, no, and he said, no, you don't understand, that is the guy you just heard. No, really? You know, that kind of thing. So you know, it's interesting. And I've always found the most interesting part about Nashville as time went on, you know, as Countrypolitan developed, all their goal was they wanted to be, you know, crossover artists, so they'd sell a lot of records, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when they started to have crossover people, you know, invading their ranks, the Charlie Riches or Olivia Newton-Johns, they hated it. You know, they started an organization against them, you know, so you can't have it both ways. But, you know, I'd argue that today's country probably holds less of a history with any of the periods of country we're thinking about. I'm looking at it as just, it's male AC, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very, very good point, Raleigh. Thank you for mentioning on it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. Yeah, so again, not to take away from the Carter family. All right, so 888-876-5593. I'm in the news. I just realized that. And Adam did the right thing. He blew me off, as well he should, because he gets memos. So here is the deal. Barbara and Cicero, don't go away. And Jim in New Hampshire, and Annie in Palos Hills. Great topics, all three of you, so stay right where you are, and after the news, we'll do it too. We've got another hour of this.
Used to be.
Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So I got this email, Carl, who said, you mentioned Donnie Elbert and how underappreciated he is, but you didn't play anything. Yeah, Donnie Elbert would have been 89 over the weekend and truly underrecognized. And so I said, I'm going to fix that. Didn't have to twist my arm. Born in New Orleans, grew up in Buffalo, sadly died of a stroke in Philly when he was just 52 years old in 1989, but left us with just wonderful, wonderful songs. And as I've mentioned before, it's ironic that his biggest hit was a remake of a Supreme song, you know, Where Did Our Love Go, when he had this volume of original work from the 50s through the 60s that was nothing short of spectacular. So we're going to play some of that, and we started off with something from 1966 on Upstate, Can't Get Over Losing You. All right, so 888-876-5593. Barbara is in Cicero. Barbara, thanks for waiting, and welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi there.
How are you?
Well, from the sublime to the ridiculous, or vice versa, I have breast cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And the hospitalization is fighting having a double mastectomy.
All right. Let's talk about this a second. How old are you?
I'm 88 years old.
All right. Well, so there's a lot of question about whether it's a good idea to do a mastectomy at all. Are you in good health otherwise?
Yeah.
Okay. Now
I run my own house. I take care of my cat. I do everything.
Okay. Now, one of the things about cancer diagnosis after you're a senior citizen is some of these cancers are so slow growing, doing nothing is sometimes your best option. So with that in mind, obviously you've talked to your doctors. Has this spread? Why do they feel the need for a double mastectomy?
Well, I feel like it's spread.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. You need to do the test to know what's going on. You don't want to feel like. You want to know for sure.
Well, it was 3 months ago when I went into the hospital and they did, you know, that big X-ray machine.
Right.
I think that's how they know that it.
Well, you can't tell everything just from the X-rays. Did they do did you do a biopsy?
No.
Well, see, it's premature. I would side with insurance on this right now. You need to have a better handle on what you've got and what it is exactly, because, you know, there's many different forms of cancer. Again, some are very slow growing. Double mastectomy is tremendously invasive on the body. It's not easy to go through, even when you are healthy, when you're, you know, old like we are.
Yeah.
It's not always advisable, but you certainly want to know what do you have first. And just because something shows up on various scans or, you know, even MRI imaging, that isn't the whole story. So what are your doctors saying to you?
I don't talk to my doctors.
Okay, well,
I mean, it's Advocate in Oak Park. And I haven't talked to them about it.
Well, see, I'm not sure that it would be appropriate. See, that's the thing, and we don't know that yet. You need more information, especially if it's something that's in situ that hasn't spread at all, or is it a stage where it's very slow growing and not likely to spread. I wouldn't jump to the conclusion that you're jumping to. I'd want to try to find somebody who could guide me through this with the kind of tests that would give you some answers before you decided on a treatment. You know, obviously I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio, so don't take medical advice from me. But what I will say personally, I personally don't do mammograms anymore because I'm older as well. And my feeling is that whatever is there, I don't want to be overtreated. If it's that slow growing, well, I'll probably, outlive it being a problem.
Well, that's it. I was scheduled to do a mammogram, and then he started dealing with the insurance company. But I had, one of those exams in the hospital where the big tube that keeps going round. I had that about 3 months ago. So he's going from that, I imagine.
Well, I don't think you can do that, is what I'm saying. I think you need more information. Yeah. And so that's what I'd be after I were you. And I can't believe that insurance wouldn't pay for a mammogram as far as that goes.
A double mammogram.
If there's indications, normally a mammogram would be a double. They would do both breasts. So I find it hard to believe that would be turned down because that's so routine. So you might talk to
her. Well, I had everything on the bottom taken out when I was 29 years old.
Okay.
And I had everything removed.
Okay, why was that?
Not my breast. That was endometriosis.
Okay. All right, but it wasn't a malignancy. When you say
No.
When you say everything, you're talking about a saphoulangectomy too, in other words,
uterus, everything.
All right,
taken
so they took your tubes and they took your ovaries?
Yeah.
All right, so they put you into early menopause is what they did.
Yeah.
And
I was only 29.
Well, I think you really need someone who knows what they're doing, not just a health advocate. You need a doctor who can get to the bottom of what's going on before you decide on treatment.
A cancer doctor, per se, or what?
It doesn't need to be an oncologist, though an oncologist might be all right. That might be all right. But, I mean, firstly, have you been diagnosed for certain with cancer? I mean, what are they basing this on?
No.
Oh, then you don't even know that.
No.
Okay. Well, then Barbara.
I don't even know where to go.
Well,
I'm with Advocate.
Mammograms are covered by I don't know what Advocate is, but is that a Medicare?
I think it's worldwide.
But I mean, is it a Medicare Advantage situation? What is it? I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, the deal is I'm almost positive that mammograms are fully covered, and that would be your first step. Get a mammogram and find out what's going on.
Yeah, well, I was scheduled to get one, and then they told the girl, the operator, said, they're having trouble with the insurance.
No, I'm wrong. You don't just settle for that. Get to the bottom of what they mean, because I've never heard.
Hard to get through to talk to anybody.
Yeah, I
know.
Yes, I do know, and that's one of the many problems. It's frustrating as I'll get out. But it sounds like you're buying trouble that you may not have.
Yeah.
So let's not do that. But try to get in touch with somebody to schedule a mammogram. And if they say there's a problem with insurance, ask them specifically what.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Let me know, Barbara. I'm concerned. Keep in touch.
And remember me in your prayers.
Absolutely. You got it. No
Thank
problem
you.
There. But yes, please let us know.
Bye.
Okay. Okay,
yeah,
bye, Barbara.
Bye.
All right. So, whoa. Yeah. Ooh. That's tough. And it is very frustrating when you're just wanting answers and there's no one to even give them to you. So, Annie is in Palos Hills. Welcome to WGN Radio, Annie.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
Not doing too good. I've been listening to you for a couple of years, and you told me you were a night person and
yes.
You would stay up late.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, I'm. I guess the earliest I go to sleep is about 4.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, I lost my son to a little over a year ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And yeah, I know. Thank you.
Oh.
And I have a hard time going to sleep early.
Sure,
and all
sure.
The few women I do know, they're up at 6 o'clock and they're going and playing bingo, and I feel like I can't do that.
Well, you might not have a body clock that can do that. Not everybody is a lark. You know, for some people, when they get older, they go to sleep earlier and they wake up earlier, but that's not everybody.
I know, but I can't seem to find anybody that's on a clock like mine. Everybody does everything early. And they give me looks like, well, you should be getting up and you should be doing
this. There's no woulda, coulda, shoulda with this at all.
Right.
When you do get up, do you feel pretty good?
No, I drag around. It takes me like 2 or 3 hours to even wake up to feel good.
Have you ever done a sleep study?
No.
Okay, well, that might be something to consider. They also have, before they would put you in a sleep center for a night, they have things that they can send to your house where you can do a night, you know, wearing something on your fingers or something like that, that will at least tell you what's going on with your sleep.
I wear
something every day, and I can tell you my sleep is not good. But last night, praise the Lord, I finally got some deep sleep. I went through 2 weeks that I didn't have any at all. So, you know, bottom line is you're not alone. There's millions and millions of people who don't fit into the existing paradigm. Now, left to my own devices, I want a 30-hour day. I'd like to be asleep 10 and up 20. But, you know, Earth doesn't work out that way. So trying to fit yourself into a 24-hour day, if you're not a 24-hour person, you can either wind up getting up earlier and earlier because you're like a 23-hour person, or later and later if you're like a 27-hour person. So thinking about your life, not just now, but in general, when did you get up when you felt the best?
I've always kind of been like on the night shift because my husband worked like the second shift, 3 to 12. And I enjoy staying up later and sleeping it later in
the
morning.
Then that's great. Then that is great. Don't listen to your friends who have other thoughts or all that. You know, if you go to sleep sometime between 1 and 3 a.m. and get up sometime between 9 and noon and you're healthy and feeling good about it, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's true. But since I lost my son, I'm so lonely.
Well, sure. And the other thing is, as you know, at night, as we're getting ready to go to sleep, you know, it's dark. I don't know what the deal is there. But, you know, after midnight, we start to lay down. And, man, our minds just go into overdrive. And so you're thinking about this, that, or the other thing, and it's just sleep doesn't come easily.
Right. That's what's happening to me.
Yeah. And there's a number of things that you can do, you know, the guided meditations, the breathing, there's different breathing exercises and all that that can help to a degree. But what is really going on is that you probably put a lot of your grief and a lot of your thoughts out of your mind during the day when you go through everything. And so when you go to lie down at midnight, everything's there for you to think about. And so you think about every one of these things. The next thing you look, it's 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I do take the melatonin and...
Well,
some other stuff over the counter that's natural, and I really believe that doesn't really work good for me.
Well,
and I don't want to.
Then don't take it.
I don't want to start with sleeping pills and have an addiction.
No, you don't want sleeping pills because they really don't work. They don't give you the kind of sleep you need. You don't want that. But, you know,
I know that.
Melatonin doesn't work for everybody. So if it's not working for you, some people do well with some magnesium at night. You know, you can try things that you think will work for you. But natural doesn't mean safe. And a lot of people don't understand this with supplements. They think, oh, well, it's natural and it's a supplement and it's good for me. No. Absolutely not necessarily. Everybody's different. For instance, you might decide you're going to take some CoQ10 at night, and next thing you know, you're scraping yourself off the ceiling because you got so much energy. Well, that might not be the best thing for you. You know, so I wouldn't be lulled into it's natural, so it must be safe. Not necessarily.
Yes, I understand that because we all are different.
Yes. Absolutely. I know they'd love to make it cookbook medicine where one size fits all, but it doesn't. So,
no, it doesn't.
You know, if the melatonin's not working, you say, hey, I'm not going to do this. You can try some other things if you want. But, you know, some of the breathing exercises can be very helpful. And there's all sorts of, you know, things that almost border on yoga, but not. Don't worry. You don't have to do crazy things that may work. But what you really need to do, and it's hard, is find the time to wind down and clear your mind. Because what happens is you get this feedback loop. You know, you start to think, and then you think of something else, and then something else, and something else, and you're out of bed, and you're wide awake because you got so much going on mentally.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't ask a doctor because doctors don't study nutrition.
They absolutely right. They spend 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, and naturopaths, some are great, some are not. It's like anything else. I'm not worried about the letters at the end of their name, whether they're an MD or a DO or a naturopath. It's just who's the person and how good are they? And, you know, medicine back when we were young and the doctor came and made house calls used to be an art. Now it's a science. and one side doesn't fit all. So sometimes you have to do your own research and, you know, take a look at something you might want to try. And assuming that the side effects, and always read the side effects, aren't anything that you're concerned about, try a low dose of something if you want. But I have a feeling that it's not going to be anything that is pharmaceuticals. I think it's going to be finding a way to clear your mind, finding a way to find that center where you can safely fall asleep.
Yes, I think you're right. And the deep breathing, I've tried that, and you have to know how to breathe, I think, from your chest, because if I breathe, like when the doctor examines me and he tells me to take deep breaths, I get lightheaded.
Right. No. Well, maybe. And there are different ways to breathe. That's true. But I'm not even talking about deep breathing. I'm talking about like circular breathing, where you're breathing in for four, you're holding for four, you're breathing out for four. And then there are other things along those lines where it's different breathing techniques that can cause you to relax. There's also, do you have high blood pressure at all?
No, but okay. One doctor put me on a low dose.
Fire him. No, I'm again. again, don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm doing. But reason
I think you know what you're doing better than the doctors. I see.
The reason that I asked about the blood pressure is there is a device. I've got one actually. I think it's called a Respirate. I gotta look at this. Yeah, respirate.com. It's a device you listen in headphones and you breathe with it. And it has some music. I don't like the music, but you get your choice of four or five different pieces of music. You won't like any of them, but so what? And it will allow you to, they want it to lower your blood pressure, but believe me, it doesn't work so well at that. But it does certainly kind of lower your breathing rate and kind of make you feel a little more, maybe a lot more relaxed. So that's called a Respirate.
I never heard of that. Where do you get those?
Probably online, Respirate. You don't have to. There's probably a bunch of other things, like you can read online, like I say, about circular breathing and other breathing that you can just do. Don't feel like, oh my God, I've got to breathe in a lot and then I'll feel lightheaded. No, don't worry about that.
Okay. But Riley, I love your show, and I love the information you give everybody, and I think it's wonderful how you dedicate your shows to help the seniors, because a lot of people don't want nothing to do with seniors.
Yeah, they're fools, absolute fools. but you're right, and that's always been the way. But here we are, we proved them all wrong, we're still walking the earth.
Right.
Yeah, so let me know how you're doing. Try some different things and go online and read some of the things and give yourself a break. That's the other thing. Do something that makes you happy.
Yeah.
I know. You're saying, what's that? Well, stop listening to people telling you what you should be doing. Do what you want to do. All right, keep me posted. All right, Annie, thank you. Okay, bye.
I love you.
Thanks. Likewise.
Okay.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We will be back, and we're going to talk about radio and music with Jim in New Hampshire, and maybe you too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. More Donnie Elbert, more often. Little Piece of Leather, big Northern Soul hit, and the 1965 on Gateway. All right, so 888-876-5593. Jim is in New Hampshire. What's happening tonight?
Oh, just a day of the show, as usual.
Well, thank you, thank you.
And, yeah, for sure. And I was, thinking about good old former AM 1000 WCFL tonight.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, I don't know if I ever told you the story about, I think I might have told you the story about how I had figured out they had, you know, kind of flipped top 40. I kind of discovered them kind of making that move.
You mean the first time in the mid-60s?
Yeah, in the mid-60s.
Yes,
you got it.
Right.
I discovered that. At the time, being originally from Chicago, I think I might have told you that.
Yes.
But I was looking for the White Sox game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which was on WCFL time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking around, looking for the White Sox game, and I go to CFL. Well, no White Sox game.
Right.
But what I did find was the new sound of WCFL.
Yeah, late 1965.
And yeah, the bold new beat for the bold new breed. And
yeah.
Oh, boy. And
yeah.
I just... you know, I love the whole jingles and the whole bit, you know. And
Well, my favorite jingles were those Chuck Blore jingles. I just thought
I think that's what they had.
They were just the best. But, you know, it's so funny because when John Rook was being transferred from KQV in Pittsburgh to WLS, you know, I was saying, oh, man, I love those jingles. And he had just a malicious little giggle, and he said, oh, so do I. And, of course, he knew damn well that it wasn't helping them. And so he was thrilled about it. But I loved them. I mean, you know, a jingle for St. Swithin, a jingle for St. Swithin's Day, how can this be bad?
Yeah, I mean, how do you, you know, how does it, you know, that I remember that jingle.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Oh, my God.
May your piggies never stray. May your donkeys always bray. Happy, happy St. Swithin's Day. It's not even about animals. Or it doesn't matter.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh. And I was real sorry to hear about the late Barney Pip. He was one of my favorites.
You know, Barney had such a troubled life, and he and I were pretty darn good friends. In fact, I hope I saved some of the letters. He used to write me, actually, longhand letters all the time. And he had just gotten his life back together. He was getting married, and you know, which he never had been, because he suffered from real depression throughout his life. I mean, if he were younger, they probably would have called it bipolar or something. I don't know. But anyway, he'd been hospitalized a few times. But he really had gotten it together, and I remember because I was in San Diego at the time, so this would have been the mid-90s, and then it was like, you know, freak thing, and he died. It was really sad, but I thought the world of him. You know, I know that he had all sorts of trouble, but I just liked him.
Oh, yeah, I you know, I used to, he was a fan of him, and of course, Ron Britton.
Oh, yes. Oh, boy. Well, that's so many stations. Your Tulu buddies, yes, absolutely. Or Tucky buddies in Tulu, whatever, yeah.
Yes.
Ron Bertone, yes. Yeah, absolutely. So he was great, but yeah, and you know, what was Ken Draper was the PD of CFL during that 65 to 70 time.
Yes, yeah. yes, yeah, when they had Chicken Man. Oh,
oh well, of course.
Gosh.
Right. Well, you know, and they had just killer people because, of course, you know, Dick Orkin and you know, came in from Cleveland along with, why can't I think of his name right now? Jim Runyon.
Jim Runyon, right.
And they put that together. And
the guy that always said, well,
what have we here? And furthermore, yeah, sure.
Yes.
And to think that it was, you know, a total of three voices, that it was just the two of them, mm-hmm. and Jane Roberts, you know, Trooper 36,
yes.
436, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. And the guy who engineered all that stuff was Jim Lupus, who was a good friend and just a great, later a terrific engineer. In fact, he was the guy who did KVIL and things like that. He did a lot of that mid-80s FM, where he was very big on listener fatigue and what would keep women listening longer. And, yeah, he made a fortune mm-hmm. doing that. But yeah, at the time, he was the engineer for Chicken Man. So,
Boy,
Ron Britton was real big in Cincinnati at WSAI beforehand.
Oh, wow.
Just huge there. I mean, he had like a 70 share. You know, this was before Dusty Rhodes came to SAI. And
okay.
Yeah, he's from Louisville. In fact, he died in Louisville, actually. But he was on the radio in Louisville when he was like 14 years old or something. So when he came to SAI in 1960, he had all this experience, and he was still in his 20s. And like I say, Dusty was big too, but Ron Britton was absolutely the guy. And so Britton did 6 to 9 and Dusty did 9 to midnight. And then Britton went to WHK in 63. And so Tulu Babies and Chico Buddies. Yeah, right, all that club. And he owned a club, Club Tulu in Clifton. And absolutely. So yeah, I loved CFL that period of time. I really did.
I did too.
And yeah, Ron Britton was at LS also, and at WIND. I think he was at Magic too. JMK.
Oh,
tragic.
Huh.
Yeah, and doing all that stuff. And he did mornings on KRC in Cincinnati in the 70s.
Okay.
He was
he
was the real deal.
Oh yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, big on theater of the mind, you know, and you could tell he loved Ernie Kovacs and the Marx Brothers, and Ray, you know. You could absolutely hear it in his approach, but yeah.
Yeah, the stuff that he would do. Yeah. Sure. And I just got the biggest kick out of CFL.
Oh yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
You
know, for me it was sort of a mixed bag, because my all-time favorite morning man came from their era before that.
Oh yeah, Dan Sorkin.
Yes,
yeah,
I love Dan Sorkin. I absolutely save Rose Bimler. I'm still saving her. But
there you go.
Yeah, he is just my guy, and thought. I mean, I realized the man was just as crazy as they come. You know, no doubt about that. You know, wouldn't necessarily want to have him over the house for dinner, but definitely wanted to listen to him on the radio.
But that's kind of, because CFL was pretty good as an MOR. A lot of folks don't know that. But,
well, no, that's what they had, and jazz at night too. They had all sorts of wonderful things in the top 40 days.
Of course,
from the 20s on, owned by the Chicago Federation of Labor.
Oh yeah, sure. Jazz show, I think, was Sid McCoy.
Right, absolutely. And there were others as well, but yes, absolutely. And that was a mm-hmm. great time. So while I loved the Ken Draper days, it was with mixed emotions, because I love the MOR stuff. Yeah. You know, might not want to listen to the MOR music, but I'll tell you, you know, I always kind of laugh, because kids always thought that stuff was just not hip. And I thought to myself, well, when it comes to the disc jockeys, the hippest guys in the room are those MOR morning men. Don't kid yourself.
You know it.
Yeah, Don Sherwood, no people like that. Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, sure, exactly. And tell you another one. I don't think he was ever at CFL or not, but I'll tell you another one like that was Marty Fay.
Oh, right. Oh, absolutely. We've talked about him. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sure, sure. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Oh, man. But I know you're about to get right down to it, so I'm going to.
I guess I should pay attention, maybe play a commercial or two, not blow the news. What a concept. Well, that'd be somebody else's show. All right. All right, Jim. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You betcha. Sure.
All right. Yeah, I do. I absolutely admire people who are great at format clocks. I mentioned this before. There was a gal who did talk on Ellis, and Catherine Johns. She was the best formatically I'd ever heard. I mean, she just absolutely had that down. I thought, you know, I could live to 1,000, and I'm not going to be able to do that. Now, I can probably talk up to the post, but as far as breaking for news, well, that's another story. So 888-876-5593. If you want the final word, and I do mean the final word, otherwise I'll just mutter on WGN Radio. James, and we've got about 7 minutes to spend together, but 3 hours tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, so we will reconvene and hopefully hear from you. But I was just trying to find, and I can't, old Marty Fay, and of course it would have been the 50s, so at best it might have been kinescopes, you know. I doubt there's any 2-inch anywhere. But when he was on BKB, which of course is a television station in Chicago, stood for Balaban Cats, by the way. And Balaban, of course, later great, actually at the same time, great little top 40 chain, but that's, I digress. But here comes Marty Fay, who had been, you know, on the boardwalk in Atlantic City pitching kitchen gadgets. That's literally, it was like the Ed McMahon of his day, you know, pitching all these kitchen gadgets. He'd go to the Macy's basement and do the same thing and all that. And so he comes to Chicago and he's got this deal on BKB TV, Marty's Morgue. And I would love to have a tape of that. It was a strip show. It was on every night, 11:30, like Sunday through Thursday. And he had it was a morgue. He had a pasteboard. You know, this is where I bury the people I don't like, and all that kind of stuff. But he hated rock and roll, just hated it. And of course, he got a lot of hate mail from teens because of that. But they thought Elvis was a bouncing orangutan, and he had all that stuff. And of course, his sister Frances Fay, he took her on as well. I think she said, "That's not my sister, that's my father." But he did well for a brief period of time as far as that goes. And a lot of people looked at him like he was just this out of control hate monger. Gee, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? But the reality was that he absolutely was just a cleaned up pitchman. It really came down to that. And he'd say horrible things to his guests and all that, which is what, you know, made it fun. And he was playing records in Chicago, first on AAF, And then BKB said, you know, we could put this guy on television. And so that was the deal. And what he really was good at was selling products. And, you know, that's the name of the game. So, yeah, Marty's Morgue. If you, if you're listening in Chicago and happen to have something that resembles an old kinescope, maybe transferred to, I don't know, VHS tape, I'll take it. Because I'd love to see that. And, of course, there were several people of that ilk. You know, Joe Pine, of course, who later went national as well. But, you know, and then later there were imitators of that, too. And it was always fun. But I liked local television when it was pretty much anything goes and anything did. So yeah. Rest in peace, Marty Fay. I think he was probably about in his mid-30s when he was doing that television show. And he died, God, about early 90s, I think. And, yeah, he wasn't old. I think he was probably his early 60s, I'm guessing. So that's the deal. And he was a Chicago native, even though he wound up on the boardwalk in Atlantic City and all that kind of stuff. So 888-876-5593, and we're going to give the closing words tonight to Jim in Richmond, who brings back a memory. So, Jim, welcome back.
Yes, I'm in a better mood.
Good.
I loved Katherine Johns. I followed her everywhere she went.
She was so good.
I wanted to ask you what your opinion was of Fred Winston.
Yeah, absolutely. Fred Winston was, you know, certainly very competent and good. You know, I wouldn't put him as a standout personality, you know, a crazy man, but he certainly could hold his own and did very well.
Yes, and there was a story about he was fired for saying one word.
What was the word?
I don't know. There was something about he said booger on the air or something,
well,
and he got fired.
You know, that could have been. Times are funny that way. I remember many years ago, there was a guy who later became huge in Detroit, Dick Purton. But when Dick Purton, before he went to Detroit, when he was at WBAL in Baltimore, he got fired for saying the word guts. He was interviewing a football player who'd been playing on a bad knee, and he said, that takes a lot of guts. And they called him in after his show, and they said, this is a direct quote, guts is not a WBAL word. And that was it. So, you know, those times wasn't that unusual. But Fred Winston, I think, might have worked at every set of call letters in the city. I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but, you know, LS, MAQ, Fire, CFL, The Point, Magic,
right.
Loop. And, you know, he absolutely, you know, anybody who said he didn't have an impact on Chicago wasn't listening to the radio.
Right. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then my other people were Jonathan Brandmeier and,
sure.
You know, and Kevin Matthews. But
sure.
I just thought he was funny, but he didn't get much acclaim.
Who, Brandmeier?
No, Fred Winston.
Oh, well, you see, there again,
yeah.
When you say acclaim, I think that, you know, he was a good jock, period. He was good. And I can take nothing away from him. But the people who get the attention are usually the people who are, you know, doing something so off the wall, everybody's talking about it. And,
right.
You know, the nice thing about Fred is that when he was on the air, you know, you believed he liked that music and he was playing it for you. And he didn't usurp it. You know, he was the background and at the same time foreground too. But I mean, he was just I don't want to say a great working man jock because he was better than that. But I mean, you're not going to have it's not going to be like a Lou Jack. It's not that kind of stuff.
Right.
But
Larry Lou Jack was my very favorite.
Yeah. Well, I liked Larry, and he got fired in Spokane. Oh, that was so funny, because what he did, one of his sponsors was a Volkswagen dealer, and what he did under the commercials was run Hitler speeches, and they finally fired him.
Right.
So yeah, it was, and then he went to, you know, Seattle before he came to. So yeah. Yeah, I miss him. But,
right,
but yeah, I don't know of too many people who could work at every format in Chicago, but Fred Winston could do that.
Right. And like I said, Larry
Lujak. By the way, the show just ended, so we'll talk to you tomorrow night. All right.
Thank
We're
you,
over.
Rally.
Yes, thanks. Appreciate it. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. 21 hours from now, do it again. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.